The Lord has made. It's good to see every one of you and your beautiful faces. I know the Lord has taken care of you. Oh my goodness. And we have one of my friends all the way from Michigan. Praise the Lord. We'll give you an opportunity to greet the church. Amen. Thank you so much, all of you who came yesterday to that swimming bonanza. I don't know whether to call it a bonanza. And, you know, our kids had fun. I want to take this opportunity to appreciate our sister Purity for doing the organization and buying pizza for all of us. She fed us, didn't you know that, yesterday? And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. We thank God. Now, today, I want to begin a series on what I call servanthood. We are not going to finish today. But I want to go step by step in what the Lord has laid in my spirit about understanding servanthood. As a church, even as we move forward, we need to understand it, to understand certain concepts in the Bible that regard to us as believers. Amen? And I realize the Bible says that my people perish because of lack of what? Lack of knowledge. And I realize sometimes we don't do things, or sometimes we don't apply ourselves to the knowledge that we do not have. You can only apply yourself to the knowledge that you have. And when we apply ourselves to the knowledge that we have, then we have an opportunity to be set free. Praise be to God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So it is only the truth that you know. Even though that truth may be recorded in the Bible and that you may not really know it, it is only the truth that you know that sets you free. Amen? It is only that knowledge that you know. There's so much knowledge, you know. There's so much concepts in the Bible that talks about what we are supposed to do and how we are supposed to apply ourselves and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves as believers. But if we do not have an access to that knowledge, that knowledge becomes irrelevant. Amen. You know, a car can take you from point A to point B, but if you don't have a driver's license and you have a car in your driveway or in your parking spot, wherever you park your car, if you don't have a driver's license, as far as you are concerned, that car at that particular moment is irrelevant. If so, nobody can come and drive that car so that you can move from point A to point B, then that car becomes irrelevant. So the truth, in the same way, the truth that we do not know does not help us. It's only the truth that we know that that delivers us and that sets us free. Praise be to God. And so, what is servanthood? What do we understand by servanthood? Or how can we define servanthood? If I'm to pose these questions to you, Mama Maya, and ask you, what is servanthood? Tell me, what do you understand by servanthood? Servanthood is nothing less than giving your life sacrificially for the sake of others. Amen? Servanthood is just derived from the same word, you know, the root word, servant. It is serving others. Amen? It is actually following Jesus selflessly in order to serve others. Now, that path has been created for every believer. Amen? That path has been created for you and me, especially if you have come to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The part in us, before we knew Christ, that was ungenerated, could not understand what servanthood was. But those who have received Christ, the Bible tells us that everybody who has come to Christ has become a brand new creature. Amen? You and I, if we have received the Lord, we are brand new creatures. And there's no more condemnation in us. It is that newness in us. It is that new person that has been birthed in earth that has everything that the Lord will use even to make you a servant. Amen? In other words, you have everything that it takes for you to be a servant. No one in our church, nobody in the body of Christ, and I'm speaking generally, ought not to be a servant. And as we saw, that a servant is one who follows Jesus selflessly in order to serve others. Now, that path is described as servanthood. Amen? And you can ask yourself, or I can pose this question as I pose to Sister Alice. How much do you understand servanthood? What does it take for you to understand servanthood? Now, there are three things that will determine the level of your servanthood. There are three things that will determine the level of your servanthood. Number one, your knowledge about Jesus. Now that you have been born again, now that you are you have been redeemed from your sins, it caused the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed on the cross, on the cross of Calvary, to save us. The Bible says that our sins have been blotted out. Amen. Our sins have been blotted out, and the Lord going to the cross, He was the ultimate sacrifice that the Father had to give so that we would be reconciled back to Himself. So you've been made a son, you've been made a daughter into the kingdom of God just because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross. So after you have come to that knowledge, it is important to know, how do you understand Jesus Christ? What is your level? What is the level of the knowledge? What is the level of your knowledge concerning Jesus Christ? What does He mean to you? Is He only a savior? What do you understand Christ Jesus, even as a Savior? Your knowledge about Jesus Christ will help you understand will determine the level of your servanthood. Number two, the depth of your relationship with Him. You know, there are people today who came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I included, and most of you included. But just as a young baby is born, that baby is given an opportunity to grow. Amen? And what gives a baby, what are the conditions that are necessary or that are offered to a child so that they can grow? Number one, they are given food. Number one, you take care of them. You nurture them. And you take care of them, and before you know it, those children will be growing, and they'll be growing, and you'll be growing, and you'll be wondering in a few years, oh my goodness, this is the little baby that I was holding up. Like when I look at my son, Ron, you know, it's just like the other day when he was born, and he was playing, you know, in the house, and just playing, just like the little kids play. You know, and some of these little children that have been born in our church here, we've seen some of them just so young, and you know, and now they are playful, they are big enough, they can reason, they can talk to you, you know, and it's just so mesmerizing how the level of their understanding, and having seen them when they were born and how they have grown up. It is the same way when we come to the Lord and when we get born again. The Lord expects us to have some level of growth. Somebody say amen. There are many people in the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about Empowerment Christian Center, who get born again, and that is it. They don't understand about what it takes to be a Christian. They don't take the responsibility to grow. They don't take up. They are not able to eat even hard food, as it is recorded in the Scripture that some of you, having received the Lord Jesus Christ, time came when you are time came for you to start eating hard food. But you know, the apostle writes, I think it is in the book, I can't remember, but it is in one of the letters of Paul, and he was saying, when I look at your stature, when I look at the level of your maturity, I see like you're not prepared to eat hard food. You know, he would not even share hard things or hard experiences as a Christian because they were not prepared for it. Amen. It'll be a sad story if you're born if you're chronological, okay, you are time clock, say you are born in 1985, you know, and you know, you don't understand about the concept of salvation, you don't understand deliverance, you don't understand baptism, you don't understand those the elementary teachings about the Lord. But God expects us to grow from one level to another. Somebody say amen. The Lord expects us, just as we expect our children to develop from one stage to another, He also expects us to grow or to develop from one level to another. So the depth of your relationship with Him determines also the level of your servanthood. Number three, the ability to obey the Scriptures, which will be a response to your love for Him. the ability to obey the scriptures, which will be a response to your love for him. What is your ability to obey the scriptures? Now, as I told you initially when I started, that you cannot, it is hard to obey that which you do not know. So in one way or another, we ought to have some time to access the scriptures, the written word, amen? The written word or the Bible is God speaking to us. As he was speaking in the Old Testament face to face, he may not really do so to you right now, but he will do so to the scripture, through the scriptures. Amen? Hallelujah. So he will do so through the scriptures. There are times when I'm discouraged or times when I'm going through something and I open up the scriptures and I'm searching, you know, the scriptures, and there, right there, the Lord has an answer for what I'm going through. I may be struggling in a certain area, and when I open up the scriptures, right there and then, the Spirit of God is able to delve into the scripture and pull out some answer for you. So we cannot really... the level of our servanthood, or if there will be a measure of our servanthood, we cannot disconnect ourselves from this word. Amen? And you know what? We may be busy, especially in this country whereby there are schedules and there are things to do. It's like our to-do list is completely full at the end of the day. But you know what? We can just begin somewhere. We can just begin in the morning. The moment when you wake up, you can determine and say, you know what? I will wake up. If you normally wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, or 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock in the morning, you can determine that I'm going to wake up 30 minutes earlier so that you can start your day with the Lord. And let me tell you, 15 minutes on a daily basis, if you're consistent in doing so, study the word, pray, commit your day to the Lord, you'll be so surprised how that is going to change your life over time. But the moment, the problem is sometimes we don't have the willingness, or we don't have the we lack the understanding to know that the scripture reading and assimilating the word of God in our lives is part and parcel of the tools that the Lord has exposed to us so that we can grow in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I want to throw this challenge to you. If you have not been you've never set a time to study the word of the Lord or to have some quiet time with the Lord, begin this coming Monday, tomorrow, begin it. You know, set a certain time. As for me, I like waking up in the morning and I set some time and I pray and I read the scriptures. I may not really read a whole scripture. There are many tools that are available to us. There is a one-year Bible that you can access online. And you know, like in America, we cannot fail to access the Word of God because it is available. It is even available on your smartphones. Praise the Lord. I'm here to meet any one of us who doesn't have a smartphone. And even you can set a time during your break time, 15 minutes, read the scriptures. And you know, do it consistently, you'll be surprised how far the Lord will be using, even the little time that you set apart for him. Praise the Lord. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, those are our, you know, my bishop used to tell us, you know, that he disliked, you know, that if you want to have a dirty church, you know, you would have people who wake up, throw the blankets, and they put on their clothes, or they hit a shower and they head out, and they have had a long day, and by the time they come home in the evening, they are so tired, and that repeats, it instigates a cycle in your life. And before you know it, you'll be calling yourself a Christian, we'll be calling ourselves believers, but we fail to have the integrate ingredients that the Lord requires us to have, because God is going to use a man to help another man. Praise the Lord. God is going to use a person in order to fulfill his purpose here on earth. Amen. Who is going to go to India? Who is going to go to Kenya to meet the needs of poor people up there if somebody is not going to rise up and say, here I am, Lord, may you send me? But how are we going to be in that position whereby we can tell the Lord, here I am, Lord, send me, if we do not spend time with him so that he will be, if the Lord doesn't speak to us, and how is the Lord going to speak to us? He is going to speak to us when we pray. He is going to speak to us when we read the Bible. Amen? You know, when we come up here, We spend maybe 20, 30 minutes just to read the scripture. It is hard for you to survive. It is just like, you know, telling your child, you know what, I'll be feeding you only Wednesday. You know, and you know, how many of you just feed your children just once a week? Lift up your hands. How many of you feed your children every day? Okay. How many of you have children? Maybe I'm making a mistake. How many of you have children here? How many of you ensure that your children eat every day? How many of you ensure that your children eat three times or more than once a day? Amen. So that is what expects us. Amen. We cannot just depend upon the preacher who comes here on Sunday and shares a good word like I'm sharing, you know, for our progress. We have to set a time. You know, if you have not downloaded a Bible on your smartphone, there are free tools, or you go to your app store, download a free Bible. Amen? And when you have a little opportunity, just open up, begin to read, and do it consistently. Somebody say consistently. And you will be surprised how much the Lord will use that, you know, to advance your cause for Christ. Praise the Lord. So three things. Your knowledge will be able to measure your servanthood, the ability to serve others, the needs of others. Number one, by the knowledge about Christ Jesus, who is your Savior, and the depth of your relationship with Him. And number three, the ability to obey the Scriptures, which will be a response to your love for Him. Now, whose responsibility is it for us to transition or to now be in a position of servanthood? Now, before we understand whose responsibility it is it the Lord's responsibility or is it my responsibility for me to be a servant? Now, before we get into that, it is important to understand that in order for us to be servants, there has to be a transition. Somebody say transition. A transition means there has to be a movement from the place where you are, from the things that you are not doing currently, into a place whereby now you can say, I'm able to do the things that the Lord requires for me. In other words, there has to be a movement. There has to be a shift in your mind. There has to be a shift in your personality. There has to be a movement from idleness or from the things that you're not doing right now into doing. Praise the Lord. Like, for example, reading the scriptures. There has to be a movement. There has to be a decision from your person that will say that, you know what, beginning today, I'll be reading a portion of scripture every day. Amen? There has to be that personal decision. In the midst of all the things that you have, in the midst of all the things on your to-do list, you have to incorporate that, and that will involve a decision. Amen? And so that will mean that you're making a movement from what you're not doing into what you are doing. Praise the Lord. So that is what we call a transition. There has to be a transition. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter number 2, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. It talks about a transformation. Amen? And I'll read that portion of the scripture. And this is what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, and if you can check it out up there. The Bible says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not what? I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me speak this lesson. Do not be conformed to this world. Amen. Now, what does that mean? It is to act as other people do. Being conformed to the patterns. In fact, in one translation, it says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world." Amen. What are the patterns of this world? The patterns of this world are things that the regular person does every day. Are you a regular person if you're born again? No. That is the answer. You're not a regular person because the Bible says that you have been changed. You have been transformed. Behold, now you are a brand new creature. The Bible, there are so many names that the Bible calls you. It calls you more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror. Amen? A regular person should not be called more than an overcomer if they have not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you with me? If you're with me, can you say amen? If you're not with me, can you say, I'm coming up? You see? So, the Bible says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. And that it means do not act as other regular people do. But the Bible says, but be transformed. There goes our word again. Be trans. So in other words, it says, there has to be a movement. You know, it says, do not be conformed to the patterns of the, do not act as other regular people do. Yes, we are born again. We go to church. We hear the word of God. But many times what happens from Monday through Saturday, do we sometimes, our language, can there be a difference between the words of our mouth from the people, from the words of the people regular who are not born again? Do we lie like the way the people who are not ungenerated people, do we sometimes use what we call a white lie here and there, and yet we are born again Christians? Have we conformed to the patterns of this world? The Bible tells us, admonishes us, that in order for us to come to that place whereby we can begin serving, it is not easy to serve. There has to be a shift in order for us to serve. You know what? When I tell somebody to come and do something or to help other people and they fail to do it, I don't blame. I used to, but the Lord is helping me to understand that I should not blame them. What when I tell somebody or when I request somebody to do something and they fail to do even though they promised to do it, the only thing that I can conclude is upon these three things. That they, number one, they may not know their Lord completely. They don't have enough knowledge to know that when they are serving others, they are serving God on the same time. Amen? Now, you remember in the scripture, in the book of, let me go there. In the book of Matthew 25:31. It talks of, I'm not going to even read there, but it talks about a time in the time of judgment, you know, the close of age, when the Lord will, everybody will come before the Lord, and he says that the sheep will be separated from the, oh, come on now, you better preach me. The sheep will be separated from the, did somebody say cow? The sheep will be separated from the goats, right? Don't they look like cows? I mean, don't sheep look like goats? Do they look like each other? Okay, when you serve meat and you tell somebody that this is goat meat, is there a difference? How many people are goat eaters here? How many people are sheep eaters? Oh my goodness. There's a difference between a sheep and a goat, right? But these sheep and goats are growing together, right? So a time will come where the goats will be separated from the sheep. And the Lord said that I will tell the sheep, you go on my right hand side. I believe, you know, in fact at that time I don't believe the angels will be doing it. If you know that you never served the Lord, you failed, you rejected him, and you profaned the name of the Lord, automatically I believe there will be a force that will be taking you to the left or to the right. Or yeah, to the left. And if you're a sheep, you know there will be that force. You know, the Jesus force will be forcing you to go on the right. Now notice what the Lord speaks to the sheep. What does it say in the Bible? I think that is very important, and we are gonna read that. Okay? The king will say to those on his right. Okay, I want you to be attentive on this one because it is very important. The king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Amen? So you already know that you are blessed. Amen? Those who have accepted the Lord and those who are doing according to his will, they are blessed. Somebody say blessed. Somebody touch somebody on your left, on your right. Tell them, I'm blessed. Come on, do it in the church. Turn to somebody. Touch them. Tell them, I'm blessed. Come on, say like you mean it. Tell them, I'm blessed. You know, let me tell you, confession is so good. If you know the power of confession, when you tell somebody you're blessed, it is so. It is an amen. So turn to somebody right now. Tell them, looking at them, tell them, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. So it says this. The king will say, come you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Who is the king speaking to? Who is the king referring to at this stage? He's speaking to the... Okay, it's not a tricky question. He's speaking to the sheep. And who are the sheep? Sheep. You're the sheep. Thank you, Gideon. Say, I'm the sheep. I didn't say that you're stupid. Because, you know, in those days, you know, your mother, when you did something, you know. But the sheep, you know, I like the way they say it's foolish. Because, let me tell you, the sheep is innocent. When one crosses the road, all of them cross the road. But the Lord says the sheep is tender. The sheep is humble. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he says, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. There has been a kingdom that has been prepared for us since the creation of the earth. Amen? Now, listen. This is very important. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Amen? Is that serving others? Is that, you know, giving your life sacrificially for others? I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Okay, I was thirsty, and you gave me what? You gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, right? Huh? I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, doesn't that sound like Jesus telling us that in the last day, you being a Christian, servanthood will be part and parcel of the things that will be required of us? Amen? Because what we are reading here is simply but servanthood. When was somebody hungry and you gave them food? That is servanthood. Amen? I know there are some of you who sponsor children who are maybe in other parts of the world, and you pay $70 like we do it in our church. We pay a certain amount of money to sponsor two children from the World Vision. You know? And we remit that money every month. It is important to know that your life was never made just for your sake. You missed a good part to say amen. God will bless you so much, but he will not just bless you even financially for your own sake. There are people who have what it takes to be what you are, but they don't have any way or any access to financial giftedness, if there's a word like that, like you have. There are people who would want to have the same job that you despise every day. How many of us complain every single day when we go to work? Oh, this boss, oh, this work. Huh? Now they have told me to go work on Saturday. Oh, they have told me to work on a Wednesday when I'm supposed to meet Sister Irene. Huh? Do you know there are many people? Oh, they have given me very bad loads today. Yeah? It's not even paying for those who are in business. Oh, look at the way my neighbor, even my boss is looking at me. They want to pile all this work and they are not even paying. Let me tell you, there are people who will do even three times what you do if they are given an opportunity. So that tells me that God has blessed you not only for your sake. Pastor Francis, the Lord has put money in your hands, God intends that you may be a blessing to others. You know, and he says that I was hungry, I was sick, and you came and saw me when I was in prison. You set aside some time in the midst of your busy schedule, and you came and saw me. You know, and you came and comforted me when I was hungry. You invited me. I was a stranger in the middle of somewhere, of nowhere, and you came and told me, brother, do you need any help? How many of us really would take a stranger in, even to buy them a meal? How many of you have encountered a stranger? Like in Dallas, we are not short of strangers. You know that for sure. All you need to do is drive your car and stop by a stop sign, and you see somebody who is hungry. You know what? We dismiss those people. Oh, you know what? I'm going to give them a dollar and they'll buy drugs. How about if you go into a McDonald's, buying some meal and giving them? There's no way they're going to sell that food so that they can buy drugs. How about meeting somebody who is desperate? And you know what? It begins with your willingness in the first place. Amen? It begins in the understanding that whenever we serve, whenever we are sacrificially giving ourselves to other people, according to this scripture in the book of Matthew, we are not doing it to them, but we are doing it to God. Somebody say a big amen. When you visit somebody in the prison, when you see somebody who is sick, let me tell you, you are on a mission for the King. You are on a mission for the Savior. You are on a mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, nothing, no work will go unrewarded. Whenever time you sacrifice to do anything for one of this, it shall be counted of you in your record. Amen. It will be a great tragedy if we go to heaven and God opened up all these opportunities. And you know, maybe you'll be number 33 on the line, and you're seeing number one. You know, you're seeing all these things they did. And you know, you think that all your things will pop up one time, you know. And you're seeing number two comes and there are all these deeds they are seeing. And maybe we will be able to see them. You know, we'll be able to see maybe hospital mission, prison visitation. Oh, they gave in the stranger, you know, a welcome. Or we fed somebody who was hungry. We gave somebody who was thirsty a drink. And maybe we'll be able to see these things. And as the line continues to dwindle and you're moving forward. Number 44, number 30. And you see number 30 going there. And you know you're number 33. And now you'll be going like this, my goodness. If you never did anything, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, why did I even miss the opportunity? And finally, number 33. And when you're looking back, you're saying, God help me. At that time, there's no God help me, because you actually are before Him. Because the Bible says that your works will follow. That is what the Bible says, that your works will do what? Let me tell you, let us save that day for embarrassment by doing and serving the Lord. So that you don't even say. There are many opportunities that you can build your line. In fact, we call it build up your line on the last day. Amen? If every little opportunity that you get to serve, whether it is singing in the choir, you're doing it. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes we despise things and we say, oh, you know, that choir, pastor and wife, the wife will be there. But you know what? I'm building my line. Because trust me, and I wish you'll be next to me and you see that. You see it. I wish I'll be number 33 and you'll be number 34. Because you see it. Because I'm serving God. When I come here to praise the Lord, when I'm coming here to do whatever I do, I'm doing it because I have a knowledge of Him. Amen? May that propel you to serve others. Let me tell you, in this day and age, there are people that cannot do anything and without asking, okay, what is my cut? What is there for me? What am I going to get out of this transaction? We are so used to exchanging dollars for our ability and strength that even in the work of the ministry, oh, pastor is telling us to go to the prison. Is there anything? Is there a ministry that is sponsoring this project? Is the pastor receiving all this money alone? If there is. Oh, pastor is telling us to go and witness. Is there this Royal Heaven Baptist Church? Is it the one who is telling pastor to, so that we can go and reach out? Has he been given a kickback? Come on now. It's so difficult to have people to do anything unless they're going to be paid. Let me tell you guys, may the Lord help us. Because let me tell you, if you're willing, opportunities will just front themselves before you. And you will know it. Let me tell you, a guy came to us, and Jimmy knows this guy. This is a true story that happened like 2 days ago. A guy comes and was introduced to us, and we wanted to give him an opportunity to drive a truck. As most of you know, we do business, you know, we do business, and it's right to do business. Amen, Sister Irene. Hallelujah. So this guy calls me from Tennessee, and he tells me, "Oh, you know what, Pastor Tony? I'd never met the guy before. We had an opportunity and." You know, he calls me and he tells me, oh, I don't have a bus fare. And usually I'm very eerie, you know, paying for somebody to transport him from one city to another because the deal ends up backfiring. So, you know, the nice pastor I am, I feel mercy. And let me tell you, I've been there before. And it's like I never learn. Oh, you know what? Tony, I know Tony is laughing at me right now. The nice person I am, I go on greyhound.com. and I pay $60, $66, and this guy comes, and I realize he comes, and I go get him from the Greyhound, and I realize that he's really looking weary and tired. So, and he says, he told us, Jimmy is laughing right now. He told us, he called me while en route and told me, oh, you know what, Pastor Tony, somebody just stole my $300. And I'm like, okay, $300. Yeah, they were just here. In fact, in my pocket, I think, you know, there was a guy who really needed water. I removed my pockets and my $300 is gone. And I'm in Texarkana. Okay. So I said, okay, well, bad luck. I'm so sorry that you lost your $300. Now, remember that he had told me that he didn't have the money to pay for the bus. And I already paid for him. And it didn't even occur to me until much later. And so the guy comes, you know, and I feel like he's tired. And I take him to a hotel, you know, so he can have a shower, you know, and tidy up. And I bought him some dinner, you know, and I dropped him to the hotel. I said, see you tomorrow. And the guy is comfortable. The next day he calls me. I'm not able. And so I send Jimmy, my friend, to go pick him up. And while we are processing his stuff, believe it or not, there's an issue about his license. And we tell him that we have to fix this license issue. And it doesn't seem like you're going to be organized to work until the next day or the next, you know, the day after tomorrow. And you know what? The guy talks to his wife. I don't know what happened. And he says, I can't wait until that day. And he becomes so angry and he becomes so uneasy. And he says, Pastor, you have to pay a bus for me back to Tennessee. Because you know what? I cannot wait for 3 days. I said, okay. I said, what are you talking about? At that time, I lost it. Let me tell you. He said, okay, if you cannot do it, can you drop me at one of the truck stops so I can find out if somebody can give me a ride? And I said, you know what? You call your wife to send you money so you can book a taxi and take you to the truck stop. So, and the guy said, okay, he picked up his box. You could see him. He was like Abraham. You know? You remember when Abraham told God, you know, leave your people and go to the place where I'm preparing for you? Abraham just picked up everything and he went. It was like he knew where he was going. That's how this guy was. He picked up his bag angrily and going like this. And this guy was like in his late 50s. He's not a young guy. So I said, okay, he goes. And then, back in my mind, I'm feeling, oh man, I think I didn't do the right thing. I don't know. But anyway, we dismiss and I go home. And just before I'm getting into my house, guess who calls? This guy calls Aaron. By the way, he had a beautiful name, Aaron. So Aaron calls me and he's crying. He says, Pastor Tony, you called me from Tennessee and you left me in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where to go. And in my heart I'm saying, you are the one. How can I pay a ticket for you? That is disrespect. How can I pay a ticket for you, put in a good hotel, even buy a dinner for you, and then now you want to go home? You take care of yourself. No, I don't even know Dallas. I don't even know where I am. At that point, I felt like the Lord was telling me, go take that guy and took him to where he wants, because I felt like the Lord will get it even with me if I don't do it. I turned my car. By the way, you know I live in Little M. The guy, when I went to meet this guy, he had not even walked a quarter mile. He hadn't even gone a quarter mile. He was in a McDonald's. Worrying, where am I now in the middle of nowhere? So I take the guy up, and I took him all the way to, those of you who are familiar with Fly NJ, you know, by I-20. And he said, drop me here. I'll be okay. Drop me here. Thank you so much, Mr. Tony. Thank you. May God bless you. And I'm leaving him, and I'm going back home. And I said, oh, God. Some things we do, you know, the Lord, you do it for the Lord. Because let me tell you, if it was by my own strength, if it is by my own thinking, that guy will say, Tupili Ambali, you can go and do whatever you want to do. But see, do not conform yourselves to the patterns of a regular person. And I know, if the word has not changed us, we would think like the regular, because I'm telling you the truth. After you have done that to a person, you know what you say, you know what? God for us all. What does the saying say? Everyone for himself. Yes, that's what I would say. But I went there. This is the interesting part of the story. I called the guy the next day in the evening just to find out if he found a ride. Do you know what he told me?
I am still here at the Fry and Chain where you dropped me yesterday. Oh my God. Let me tell you. And now, I am trying to tell this guy, now, do you want to work? Yes, 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 I'll wait. The guy didn't have money. He didn't have, he was sleeping in 100 degrees and I'd offered to help him. You see? The why I give you this story is to see, is to tell you, it's not about the whole guy. But I wanted to tell you that sometimes God, opportunities will present themselves even to test us. We tried even to help this guy, but the insurance could not, rejected it. I don't even know now whether he's still at the Flying J. And I don't want to call him because I don't want me to have that huruma again. I'm tempted. In fact, I was tempted to call him yesterday, but I resisted that temptation. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So what I'm telling you is that opportunities will present themselves. And let me tell you, nobody maybe will even repay me for the $66 or even the hotels or even my time to take him back there. But I know in heaven, God saw that I did a good deed. And I'm not saying this to praise myself. I'm just saying this to teach us that opportunities will come to test and even to present themselves to a point whereby we serve the Lord. As I was going there in my head, I was having this notion that you're doing this. And I even told him, I'm doing it because of my Savior. If it were not for my Savior, if I was not born again, I don't think I would do this. But because I know Christ. I know who I represent. I know the kingdom that I represent. Who knows? This guy knows that I'm a pastor. And he may not be born again. But maybe down the road, somebody will come and water maybe that deed that I did. And who knows that he will accept the Lord. Amen? Do not ignore the opportunities that God gives you. And when you send somebody away, tell them, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. Shalom. Peace of God be upon your heart. Amen? Servanthood, understanding servanthood. Let me tell you, there are people who think that, you know, salvation is coming to church every Sunday, but it is more than that. It is more than coming here. We dance and sing because we can come, clap, sing, worship, sing and cry out, fall on the floor. But the next day, we are not depicting who Christ is in our lives. The Lord would want us to represent him 24 hours. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. When you are sent out of this building and you're going out in your workplaces, may those people that you work together know that you're a born-again Christian. Let them know that you're different. Let them know that you're more than willing to help, to offer a helping hand. Amen? Open up your eyes for opportunities that the Lord will give you. Even in this church here, this is not our church. This is not our church building. Amen? But somebody has offered to come and that we may worship here. Let us treat it like a house of God. I met a man here yesterday in the morning, and I told you, by the way, you realize there are no spots? I cleaned it yesterday. I'm not saying this to blag on myself, but this is what I felt. I cannot dare, this is the house of my Father. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? This is the house of my Father. And the pastor who owns this building came up here, and he was saying, Pastor Tony, you didn't have to do this. We are planning to change it. I told him, you know what? Whenever you're going to change, change it. But I cannot stand on the altar that represents the kingdom of my Father to preach the good word with all these stains here. I will do it. It took somebody to do it. There are many people, amen, let me tell you. There are many people who have been coming to this church almost for 2 years with all those things here. But it takes somebody to do something for the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to challenge us that there are so many opportunities that will present themselves, and unless we give ourselves to do it, somebody, God expects. Did you think that? Do you know that angels can come and do it? Amen? Amen? But God will not allow them to come and do it. Why? Because we are here. There's a position here for somebody to come and sing and praise the Lord. Amen? Thank God for Sister Monica and where's Sister Ann? They have given themselves to come and worship, you know. And I want them to be consistent. Make this your baby, you know. Do it like you'll never do it again. Whatever God has given you, God can just say, you know what? Coming, beginning this Sunday, I'll start this, and I'll do this for the sake of my Maker. And when you do it, let me tell you, God will have a reward for you. Many times we are not going to be rewarded by men. Amen. Are you listening to me? But the Bible says that when we get to heaven, hallelujah, there'll be a reward for you. Amen?
Do it like you'll not be rewarded by anybody. Do it for the sake of the king. Shall we stand on our feet, please? In Jesus' name. Understanding servanthood. Amen. Praise the Lord. You might be in this place today and you need prayer. You might be sick. You might be having a need. We want to pray for you. Never given your life to Jesus? This would be a good opportunity to surrender your life to the Lord. Amen. I would like to give you this opportunity. If you need God to touch you, if you want even also to say that beginning today, I want to set aside some time that I may spend with my Maker. Life is not about just making money, 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 money. Let me tell you, you can have $1 million, but you still have some needs. Amen? But you know, you can have Jesus. You can have Jesus in your heart. Incorporate him in your life, in your day-to-day life, and he can take you. I would want Jesus to take care of my business. I'm not saying that things are well with me. Sometimes I encounter mountains. I encounter things that I don't know what to do. But just because I know that I have admitted, I have allowed, incorporated the Lord in my life, I know that I'm not going to suffer a stone because he's taking care of me. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful. We are honored even for what you have done for us. We graciously commit our lives unto you. I pray that you may help us even to understand servanthood. For Father God, you say that the first place, the first position that we need to do is to deny ourselves, to die, to pick up and follow you daily. Lord, I pray that it shall come to this, to the membership of this church, that Father God, we shall be authentic servants even for the house, for the kingdom of God. You're looking, Father, to fulfill your purpose here on earth. And I pray that you shall lead and guide each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you shall give us the understanding to know what is required of us, even as believers. I thank you for each and every one of us. You might be there, you are sick. Lift up your hand. You need a miracle from the Lord. I want to pray with you right now. Do you need, you have a need, you need a touch, God, to intervene in the situation. Can you lift up your hand?